And we're live. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of UFO Undercover. I'm your host, Joe Montaldo. Hope everyone's having a great evening or a great morning or a great afternoon, wherever you are on our big, beautiful blue planet. You know, I say this every Wednesday night. There's nowhere else I want to be but here with y'all guys. So I hope y'all are enjoying your evening. I hope everything's been going well for everyone around the country. I know we're in holiday mode and let's shop till we drop kind of things. I know we just came through Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You know, hey, look, if y'all got any money made left, make a donation to the station. Because y'all are probably broke by now. And we still got to get through Christmas and New Year's, which is upcoming real soon. So I hope everyone out there is being cautious, taking their time when they're shopping. Take your time on the highways. There are crazy people out there. There are a lot of roadblocks, a lot of, you know, sobriety checks. So, you know, drive through the holidays, sober people, because odds are you're going to run across one of them somewhere. Down here where we're at, New Orleans, Mississippi, they do them regularly. So, I mean, during a holiday, so y'all should really be careful. Also, just be nice to everybody. Remember, everybody's already on edge. They're spending more money than they should be. There's lots of stuff going on in their lives. You know, try a little kindness. You know, if someone's having a bad day, be nice to them. Don't be rude. Don't be mean. Just be nice. And remember, it is the holidays and people are going to get a little cranky. So, you know, I try just to avoid the crankiness and talk to the people out there that I think are, you know, good people and they're just having a bad day. You know, you just try to hook them up so that they, so that, you know, that they can see that it's, hey, things are going to get better. It's going to be a better day. Come out and enjoy it for what it actually is. Anyway, guys, we're going to get into the guest here in just a second. It's been so much going on lately. Sorry about that, guys. Apologize for that. That was the phone kicking in because it was logged into the station. Sorry, guys. I forgot I had it logged in. I was checking on something earlier through my cell phone. But anyway, tonight's guest is going to be Matt. Matt's been on the show a few times over the years. Matt used to be an ex-policeman in New Orleans who now resides out of the state. He had some interesting encounters down here with reptilians, and we've talked about it in great deal, and there's been other witnesses that have come forward, and there's been other people who have had similar incidents happen to them as well. But recently, I was thinking about Matt the other day, because I had run across, I was doing a search for something for the station, and his name came up in one of the searches. He's been a prior guest, and it was on a website somewhere else, and I was reading, and it was something I was thinking about it, because just recently we've had some people come forward that have had similar experiences to what Matt and I and other witnesses have seen and dealt with in New Orleans, now in two other cities. Now, before we get all excited about this and say, okay, this is a great thing or whatever it is, we got to be sure that these witnesses are legit and that what they're saying is true. One of the cities is New York. So far, by the way, we haven't seen any of this type of activity on the West Coast. Not that there's not reptilian activity out there. There is. That's not what I meant. I'm talking about the particular type of training and stuff we're going to be talking about later in the show. The other one is Chicago, Illinois. Doesn't really surprise me that at least two of the cities we're talking about here are very, very, very violent cities. Not that New York isn't. New York is a pretty violent city, but really compared to New Orleans and Chicago, for the amount of people in New York, it's not near as violent as these two are. You know, also, too, you've got the corridor up there. You know, if you look in between New York and Chicago and all the places in between, there's a lot of people living there. I mean, really, there's a lot of people. So I think 76 million people live in the Upper East Coast, 66, something like that. There's a lot of people up there. So a lot of places that people can come in and get involved in, or I should say reptilians can come in and get involved in, not really be bothered or messed with or anything else. Clara, no, they don't really care that it's cold, baby. We call them reptiles because they look reptilian, but I got to be honest with you. The research suggests that they're not, or maybe that they were a long, long time ago. But today they seem to be warm-blooded. They're very fast. They move very quick. They're very powerful. They aren't wearing special suits or special clothes when they're in the cold weather. So it doesn't affect them like it would affect a normal reptilian. It doesn't really slow them down or make them tired or any other thing. And when you touch them, what's funny about it is they're warm to the touch, which suggests that their body temperature is slightly warmer than ours. Because, you know, if you touch your own arm, it's kind of a a moot feeling until the little heat builds up between your hand and the arm, because you know your hand and your arm are roughly around the same temperature, 98 degrees. So when you touch something else that's cooler or warmer, of course you sense that. Well, when you touch a reptilian, you know, most of the time the skin feels smooth, but it does feel warmer a lot of times. But then, you know, I've had cases where people said it felt smooth and cool to the touch. So I guess it depends where they are and what they're doing. But anyway, Matt, how you doing tonight, man?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on or letting me fill in.
Oh, well, no, I appreciate you coming in and taking the reins tonight. You know, well, we've talked about a lot of things, and we've done hypnotherapy, or I should say regression. And you know, there's always something new that comes out in all of this, which I find interesting. But you know, here in New Orleans, there've been a lot of cases coming up in the last 8 or 9 years that have been kind of interesting. You know, I know we talked about the arena. We talked about the mall across the river and the UNO arena, and we've talked, and to bring y'all up to speed, because I'm jumping around here and it's going to be hard for y'all to catch up, because Matt and I have talked about this before. The malls can be easily converted into makeshift prisons and things along those lines. And what we mean by this is the outer walls of malls are usually brick. The inner walls are sheetrock, but they're always metal framed. But more so than that, they have metal drop-down gates, so you can't get out. The back doors are used, the back walls are cinder blocks, so you're not going through the black walls, and the side walls are concrete. You might be able to go from one cell to the other cell, but you're not going to be able to get out and get outside. You're not going to be able to get into the main part of the mall because of the steel grates. They make great makeshift prisons, guys. And I got to say, or holding areas. Maybe we won't call them prison. Maybe we'll just call them holding areas. Whatever you want to call them, they seem to be quite good at it. And remember, there's a lot of malls around the United States, so you could really put a lot of people in suspension really quickly, especially like in a city like New Orleans after Katrina. There was 10 or 15,000 people left. You could have easily put them in the two malls right there and been done with that, and had them housed up and secured until you decided what you're going to do with them. But anyway, to make this –
if I could – yeah, no, if I could – come on. The first training thing I was taken to actually happened like a month and a half before Katrina in like July. And that was – now you said there was other sessions that happened during or after, but the only one I recall was being taken before Katrina, at least, you know, 4 or 5 weeks before, when I was halfway through the academy. Of course, they swore us in when the storm hit, because we recruits were some of the only people – you know. We lost a lot of officers to miscommunication. You know, the command structure broke down and no one could communicate because our radio system went down. So nobody could communicate. We had no idea where anyone was. And, you know, I'd say maybe a third or fourth, more like a fourth. You know, you see hear a lot of exaggeration about what percentage of officers, you know, left. Well, it was about a fourth. And we recruits were on, you know, they first had us in the headquarters downtown. That flooded. Then we ended up in the Hotel Omni, which became our new headquarters, which I presume is still in the French Quarter, the Omni. And that was one of the managers there, who was actually British, in exchange for letting us use the hotel as an HQ, got to go out with SWAT with a shotgun on raids. But that was, I don't remember that guy. I don't know if maybe he still manages it. I don't know. But it was pretty weird being in a 5-star hotel, but, you know, no plumbing, no electricity. So it was, and we were working 16 hours a day. So it wasn't like a nice experience. But just for, you know, to sort of expand on the time frame. Yeah. I mean, we were, I've been on many shows that you've had me on. Again, I appreciate that. And we've talked about how they, we're doing crowd control type training inside the mall. And you've also told me how some of the training involved using healing devices on the reptilians who were wounded or stabbed, so people could use healing devices on them. And I didn't see any of that. The only part I saw personally was the crowd control and the use of these backpack-powered laser weapons. I mean, you can I guess you can compare them to, like, the backpacks in Ghostbusters. But not, you know, the way the lasers looked when they fired and when they tested them, was told it was The only thing I can compare it to is if you've seen thermite, you know, go on YouTube, look up thermite welding, or just a or someone just playing a thermite at all. When it shoots something, it looks like a thermite reaction. And of course, you know, I do think that's kind of where the legends of dragons and fire-breathing dragons comes from. Of course, most of the reptilians in the mall didn't have these backpack weapons. I'd say one out of five, one out of four had them. But the ones who did, you know, that was a really memorable experience. And they didn't damage the structure of the mall. They had things lined up like a shooting gallery. They had a trash can. They had a bench. And one of the malls in the area, I know we've talked about this as well, you and I, you told me one of the other people who was at the mall. Now, it's been years since I was first on, and you have all these other cases of people who were there who were police and military, but what is the count up to now? 15, 14, or what is the count of total people, including me, who were taken? Joe, you still there?
Sorry about that, Matt. Last time I talked to you, it was probably 8, 9, 10. I would, with some of the new stuff, if we count the outlying cases, I would say more around 50, 50, 55. So it went from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5. Well, and there's a lot of crisscross here. Remember, there's the officers and the officers and the National Guard who's seen stuff down around Esplanade, you know, reptilians walking in the water, walking like that. Then there are people who had participated. But what I found out recently, and this is really interesting, I had talked with you about some witnesses that had come forward, two NOPDs and two National Guards. Well, they've undergone hypnosis since the last time we've talked. At least two of them experienced something similar to what you did or something similar to some of the other stuff we've talked about. Enforced training. I don't like using the word forced because it doesn't necessarily sound like y'all were all actually forced. It was more like y'all were deposited there and said, okay, this is what you're going to have to do. This is what you're going to be involved with, or this is how these experiences are going to work out. But it didn't seem like, I mean, it was forced in the fact that they came and abducted you. I mean, you can't get past that part of it, but it didn't seem forced after that point, even though there was some violence there, but that still kind of felt like it went into the training. Like each group was being specifically trained for a specific type of crowd control or a specific type of healing or you know, maybe some were doctors, some were, but anyway, it seems like all these different groups now were being trained specifics. All of them were getting kind of what I would consider basic crowd controls, like kind of being in the military. You know, one of the things about the military, everybody learns basic crowd control and basic firefighting and stuff like that. It's just part of being in the service. And in this case, this does seem like a lot of what was going on here. It really seems to me that this is part of, at least part of what was going on here. So in your case, I'd say, okay,